What is up, y'all out there? We are live right now, live with the live stream. Steven Ignoramus in the house. How is everybody doing? We are here with a special guest right now. His name is Damien, and he goes by Hoodly Daddle Bear over there on Instagram, and he is the host of the What Would Tesla Do podcast. Very, very excited to have Damien on tonight. Talk about some conspiracy stuff, some of his hobbies, and the subject matter of his program. Thanks for coming on, Damien. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me. It's great to get with somebody that I already know can talk. Sometimes I get people on the show, and you know what? I mean, ODD TV, great stuff, but he's kind of hard to pull out himself. And I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And it was good. But I mean, I kind of felt like I had to, like, I don't want to say carry him, but you know how you get on with somebody you haven't actually had a time to kind of vet them, and
yeah,
get them on there, and you're like, you know, go ahead and elaborate.
Yeah, the pacing, man. Pacing is hard about podcasting, and like, that's why I just err on the side of fast, because it's engaging, and when there's too much, you know, it's, I don't know, like, I used to be chill. Not really, but like, I used to be like, yeah, let's keep it chill. Now it's just like, no, fuck it, let's fucking keep going. And like, so it's everyone's got their own pace, but like, how would you say your pace of your show is? Like, do you keep it energy high, or you just kick it, or what?
Yeah, but at the same time, I got to a point where I felt like I did like a spinoff show, which is kind of retarded because I only have like 300 followers, but I did a thing where I called it For Fuck's Sake. It was just me doing a solo stream.
Yeah.
And it was easier for me to do it because I would have the lineup of the things that I wanted to talk about. And it was just, I didn't have to wait and see if the person had, because I've got a lot of, you know, flat earther friends, or, you know, that are on Facebook and whatnot. And they're super brilliant and they've got awesome, great memes, but sometimes it's a little bit, you know, there's the chemistry is not there. And like my friend, Roberto Reeves, he's from Scotland. So it took me like a full on 5 minutes to get used to his accent.
Yo, what are you saying?
Like, what did he say? Yeah. Man, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, he's very,
we're also Scotland. Like, yeah, dude, I agree. Yeah, it was great.
It's like, I got the love. What?
One time I was in the recording studio with like a British producer, and he kept saying like, I couldn't eat pasture. And I was like, I didn't know whether he was saying like his posture was bad, or pasta, he or take pasta. It out to pasture. And he was saying pasta the whole time. And I was like, that cannot be the word you're saying, sir. Like pasture.
You mean like macaroni?
Pasture. Yeah. Pasta. Yeah. But he said like, pasture.
Like, play it more angel hair. Like,
speak English, like, you British fuck. Like, just kidding. Like, but yeah, I mean,
well, no, I mean, like, English is from England.
Yeah,
but
we're right
to understand what they're saying.
But we're right because we're American. That's the story.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. No. I do a self-deprecating thing about the United States, because there's a ton of retarded people here, but at the same time, you know, I'm not a political person, but I have always had an attitude about the foreign policy of America.
Me too.
Because of the warmongering and the whole, like, you know, just stay the fuck out of people's lives, man. You know, this is the first time in I don't know in how long the United States has not been involved in some continuous war, you know? So I'm not political, but, you know, say what you want to say about the orange man, you know, he's kept us out of war, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons I liked it. I mean, I didn't really like start to kind of support Trump until about a month ago. You know, I was a full blown libertarian, you know, in 2016. But that was always the thing where I was like, you guys don't like Trump and he's talking anti-war. Like, are you crazy? That's like the best thing about it. Like, he would at least say the Iraq war was a mistake. Not many people say
I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, the first thing is that he's transparent. I think he's an egomaniac. I think, but he is transparent. And the fact that the Libertarian Party has never gained enough.
They suck so bad.
Traction.
They're so cringe.
They haven't gained enough traction, because at the end of the day, I think if you don't have to choose sides and you're not a hardcore Democrat or a hardcore Republican, you're a centrist. We have more in common than we have differences. People believe at this point you need to wear a mask because they're scared. I understand you're scared. I don't know where you're getting your information from. Because you can have Liz Wheeler come on an everyday basis and give you, just break it down. Here's the facts. Here's what mainstream media will not talk about. So we're going to go ahead and talk about it. And I do watch CNN. I do watch other people do their thing. I don't just live in an echo chamber because I feel like it's intellectually dishonest. At the same time, I don't know that the liberals are doing that. My sister's a liberal. And I ask her, and you know what? I have a lot of relationships, thankfully, that we can still maintain a friendship and, you know, some levity, even though we disagree. And I really appreciate that about a lot of my friends and my family, too. But I said to my sister, I said, I don't understand. I said, you're going to vote for a guy who is slipping into senility at an accelerated rate. And he's a pedophile. I'm sorry. I've watched a lot of C-SPAN footage of this guy.
We showed it today on my show, man. It's irrefutable, right?
Well, he's also been accused of sexual assault by many women, of which Kamala Harris believed them, but is okay to be his running mate.
It was a debate. Do you see that? That on her on Colbert, like that was her justification for her calling him like racist and saying
it's a debate. Well, it's a debate. We have to be assholes to each other. No, you don't. The fact that if you really listen, if the Democrats really wanted to give themselves a shot, because I'm sorry to say, there are no rabid Biden fans. There are rabid Orange Man fans.
Oh, so yeah. Millions. Really,
right. If yeah. they really wanted a shot, dude, they would have picked like Tulsi Gabbard. She's likable, you know? I mean, she's intelligent. She doesn't have a track record of being a complete and total ridiculous liar, you know?
Yeah, so
I didn't even know what the memes meant when they were talking about, you know, who'd you have to put the knee pads on to get where you're at. I didn't even know what that meant until yeah. Like 3 days later, I was like, holy shit.
All you got to do is Google it. Yeah, it's total. And like the Snopes thing, it's like, you know, Snopes is just such cancer because they will fact check 10% of it and call it the whole thing and say it was false.
As soon as somebody mentions Snopes on a thread where we're talking on Facebook, I'm like, dude, I can't, like, if you just brought up Snopes, I can't help you. Like, they're the most ridiculous. I mean, they basically say everything is bullshit. Yeah. There's a comedian I want you to look up. His name is Ron Fuchs. Ron Fuchs.
Okay.
He's a black dude, and he says I've been looking into conspiracy theories. He says, but there's people that are like, they don't believe in any conspiracy theories. He's like, you don't believe in any conspiracy theories?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he goes, listen, the government's been in charge of, you know, of all the people. He says, I've got a son. And I'm in charge of one person. And he goes, and I lie to that motherfucker all the time.
It's true, dude. You have to with authority a little bit. And it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable to say, but like with authority, you have, there's no such thing as full honesty. And like, I get it that they redact stuff, but it's true. You can't, like, I don't know. I try my best to, it's more like shrouding information rather than being like, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the deal is that I have a lot of crickets right now on my feed because I go to Anomalies, one of his videos, and I actually went ahead and just screenshot one of these like musical montages of Biden just saying the most ridiculous stuff that doesn't make any sense. And nobody chimes in because I think they know they're just dead to rights.
They can't.
Yeah. So I put this meme up yesterday on Instagram and I forwarded it to Facebook and I got a lot of positive feedback. Like people were like, this is the best meme I've seen in like forever. So it's 4,480,226 people in the world this year have died from hunger. There is a vaccine for hunger. It's called food. It works straight away and has no side effects. Shall we solve hunger first and then worry about a virus that has more than a 99% survival rate?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, I mean, it's a prolific idea, but at the same time, it's like if you believe in a pandemic, which I understand it's possible for a pandemic to happen, although I don't believe in viruses.
Yeah.
You're looking at the Walking Dead. That's what you're looking for. People getting a fever and in 3 hours, they're turning into a zombie or they're dead. That's a pandemic. Or within 24, 48 hours, they're dead. Not they had respiratory issues already. Yeah.
You're looking for like the flesh eating, like zombie create. Yeah, like the mind worm. Yeah. I don't know if that
the numbers I put up, I try to put up these days. I try. Another thing I kind of encourage people to do is don't say you people. It's a distancing. It puts you at odds before the person can even consider the meme. I try to take you out and we put we out. I try to ask questions like, what do you guys think about
it's this? So hard to because do. It's so smart, but it's so hard to do. Is. Yeah. You have to train yourself. Yeah. Everyone right. does it.
And yeah. I mean, it's difficult, but I have try to have empathy for people that don't understand because I go, you know, we're in a pretty conservative state and we opened up really early. We're in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. And fortunately, we have a governor that, you know, said, hey, this is bullshit. And he didn't say this is bullshit. He can't say that. But he said, you know, we got to open up the economy. But you're talking about numbers like tuberculosis and, you know, mad cow disease and whatnot. And all these things are dirtying COVID. In fact, I put this, I go on one of the, you know, the WHO video comes up after one of the videos I watch, you know, I'm like, all right, let's listen to what these guys have to say. And it's like, dude, I go into the comments, I'm like 746,000 people died of COVID so far, you know, worldwide.
Yeah.
But I'm not even going to say anything about false, you know.
Let's just, let's steal, man. Let's Virginia. Say everything they say is correct. Let's just operate on that.
I'm not going to talk about the guy in Virginia that got, you know, left, committed suicide. They came
there's
back.
So
like,
many.
Well,
there's so many.
Oh, my God.
Like that.
Yeah. So 619,000, I believe, died of influenza. I know it's August, but died of influenza. Annual or in the last year worldwide. And so you're not talking about a pandemic, not in the consideration of the numbers that they had put up initially, which if those numbers were happening, then yes, we would need to lock down. Yes, we would have mandatory masks. But at the same time with a mask, you would have a certain level of consistency. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to wear whatever the fuck mask you want to wear.
Right.
Because at this time I have those face shields and I would love to do what Owen does. Okay. Must be nice, you know, but I have to wear a face shield sometimes to go in and get groceries. I don't have a place to get anything. So I limit, you know, that time, but I have one of those face shields where they get like 4 for $20. I had these ordered years ago before this ever. You
really?
Put them on if you're skiing or you're going to go pick up dog shit out of the yard. And you want to get like fucking mow the lawn. You don't want stuff to fly in your face. It's that. And so it's really just a really breathable stretch material that you can put on your head. You can put on your face. And once I get into the store, I pull it down immediately. Mm-hmm. But I don't, if the manager says something like the other day, he said, you know, sir, would you put your mask? I put it on for 2 seconds. I walk away, I take it off. It's not a problem, but I can't live in a society at this point where I don't wear it completely because I don't live in a place that allows me to do things I need to do. Like I need to pick up some water. My girl's like, hey, can you pick up some bottled water? Yeah. I got to stop off there. I don't want to do it.
People got lives and shit, man. And it's like, that's why I'm not like a big, like the hardliner I'm against is the government here. Like, so let me just pick apart kind of what you're saying real fast. Like the sense the government comes from on high and like mandates this stuff, everyone below that is in a weird position. Business owners, citizens, mayors, anything below like the top level of government, everyone's in a weird position. So at that point it becomes like game theory. Like it's like, I respect your decision. No one really, like the people I don't respect are the people trying to tell other people what to do. And the government who, like, to me, the only thing I have an issue with what you're saying is that, like, if like that, there is a certain point where government is allowed to cover your face. Like, even if it's everybody, even if everybody's dead. I mean, even at that point, it still has got to be the person's choice. And the whole thing would play out differently if they just said that. That's my only point. If they just said,
yeah,
it's a person's choice. But like, do you think there is a level at which like the government should make people cover their face? Like,
I think if you had some real numbers to back up the danger, I think that would be responsible of the government. You know, initially when I started to hear about the deaths, my mom was telling me about, you know, Italy had 408 deaths in one day. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what the population of Italy offhand, but I got to think, you know, 408 people probably die in the country in a day based on just normal, you know, natural causes of death.
Right.
I have seen the charts. Natural causes of death are going down. COVID is going up.
Yeah.
That mathematically doesn't make sense to me. So, it, you know, and they have, they just said it point blank in a White House briefing, you know, that lady with a scarf, I forget her name. You know, we're taking a very liberal approach to mortality. If someone dies with COVID, no matter what their natural cause of death or whatever their death was, we're going to enlist it as COVID. So it is completely political.
Yeah,
because it is obviously in a very opportune time to do so. The economy was booming. Everything was, you know, swimmingly along. And then you get, you know, we're going down, you know, 10 months, 11 months away from, an election. And there's been some jokes about some of the memes, you know, like, when do you think COVID will end?
November 4th, you know, baby.
November 4th. Yeah. Exactly. Coronu will be gone on November 4th. It'll be magically just disappear.
Yeah.
I hope that this new normal, I put up a meme. It says, and I wrote this meme, actually my girl and I did. It says, anytime someone says the new normal, I just want to punch him in the dick. Like, just stop saying
it's that. Such a terror. I mean, because it doesn't have to be. It's not like CNN does not control what is normal. I mean, they might think they can, and if enough people play ball with what they're saying, that is the new normal. But it's we create our own normal. I mean, we create our own normal under God's reality. Under, like, but it's like, right. It's not like I can just be like, oh, my truth. But, you know, what is normal is me going outside without a mask on. And if it's like, if enough people do that, what is normal at that point? It's all philosophy, you know? But let me ask you something. I just got something that someone said something in the chat. Might be wrong. Says, I fully believe the Dems want to lose. So I was going to ask you about some conspiracy theories. That's, do you think that's on the table, that they're just throwing this shit?
I feel like there's a curveball coming, Steve.
Yeah, I do too, dude. I feel like there's like three false flags coming, dude.
There's no way that anyone in the Democratic higher ups has decided that this is this path, which is that, you know, Biden isn't speaking. Yeah. He's not doing any campaigning. They picked a pretty much not very likable woman of color. And my mom said, well, you know, Tulsi Gabbard's not a woman of color. I'm like, well, you know, she's from Hawaii. She's pretty tan. I think they could probably spin
that. You can spin anything, man. Like,
but do you feel like that people at this point want to be scared?
There's definitely some like Stockholm syndrome, loving your oppressor type shit going on for sure. Yeah. People
have you
love
checked
it.
Out the chick, what's her face?
Who is that really your name?
No. Hold on. I'll pull it up. So I was like,
is that with the internet? That might be someone's name.
She says she's okay. Here it is. It's double underscore. What's her face? Double underscore. And she sounds like she's from the Midwest. She's got that, you know, that accent. She's got 10,000.
Oh, I'm trying to get her on the show. Yeah, I'm going to DM this girl soon. I like what she has to say.
But you know what? I like it. She's got a good thing because she's got a great sense of humor.
Mm.
And an anomaly has his thing is she's very affable.
It's all about being funny, man. That's what it's all about. It's all about like being, it can't be, the corners of the mouth must go up a little bit. Like, it doesn't have to be like, you know, but like, if it's just despair and like, it's gotta be a little bit of positivity. Like it has to be, right?
Well, that's the thing. I never, and I do some stuff in Final Cut Pro, but I never really experimented with me doing, you know, cut frames. Mm. Because obviously I could talk for an hour and a half to myself and then I could cut frame a 6-minute video, but I lose objectivity. And at the end of the day, like I tell people, like my show is not going to be monetized. I won't be monetized. You want to send something to my Venmo for, you know, cocaine and hookers, I'm all right with that. But you know, I'm
do
really,
it people in the chat do this shit.
I don't want to focus on making money. That's why I go by Hoodly Daddle Bear. I want to focus on truth. And as long as I can do that, I don't have to capitulate to whatever the optics are, you know, for talk about Nick, whatever his name is, Mother Milkers.
Fuentes.
Yeah.
So for people in the chat, so first of all, I know you're about unity and stuff, but I'm offended by your name, Hoodledaddle. That's a bad word where I come from. Explain to people, like, well, no, it's just a joke. Like, you know how, like, in some streams, Owen and Vox and a couple of other people, they, like, joke that it's a banned word because it's such a, like, a vulgar, it's so much more vulgar that.
I never knew it was considered vulgar. I thought it was a boomer term.
The reason that it's vulgar is because it's part of the bit. It's because it's so much more offensive to think that we went to the moon than any other word. Yes. That the word hoodledaddle, it becomes a terrible word. So the hoodledaddle is the moon landing, right?
Yes.
And it didn't happen, according to you. And right. me, by Obviously. The way. Yes, right. of Obviously. Course. I think it's like the gateway to...
If you think so, this is probably not the right live stream.
If you think that they went in that way... Now, I maybe think they have more advanced shit. Like, they maybe went, if there's a moon. But that way, in that way, with that story, and they're, like, forgetting shit live on air. Have you seen these press conferences where they're, like, trying to remember it? And they're just like, our names.
Yeah, you got Michael Collins speaking out of turn, and like, you know,
I they're think, retarded.
Neil Armstrong shoots him a look, you know, like a death look.
He's his handler, but dude.
He's an internal handler. Like,
yeah, he's like, dude, chill.
I do start from the supposition that, like Owen does, we'll say what things are not.
Yeah, me too. It's such a comfortable way to live. Yeah.
Yeah, I walk the dogs and I look at the moon and I go, what the fuck is that? You know, I see a Crow 777 and I see videos of people zooming in on the moon and I go, what is that? I don't know that it's a place you can go to. I'm of the opinion that we're living in a realm. I don't know the ramifications of that realm. I don't know if there's definitely land beyond Antarctica. We know that Richard Byrd said so. But some people will argue, well, he's talking about South America to Antarctica. But it's like, well, that doesn't really sound like what he was saying. But, you know, I don't know for sure because I can't go back to 1957 or whatever and find out. But I do feel like that it's a good place to start from. I don't know shit. And these are the things I don't know. These are things I do know aren't real. I think it's a good place to start.
Yeah. And a lot of mine, I guess this isn't really an argument. This is a logical fallacy in itself, what I'm about to say, but it's just the truth. Like, look at consider the source of the people that's like demanding that you believe we went to the moon. Like, look at the source, and it's emotional driven, and it's people that are huge, big power, big money, big science, the religion of science. Yeah. And it's like, these people do not have, like, I just don't find them to be credible, or honestly, I think they hate me and people like me. So that's not really an argument, but it's also part of nationalism.
Hmm. You know, there is a American pride in an achievement that we were told we were going to do. And, you know, if you go and you look, I know NASA fanboys on my Facebook, and, you know, they really believe this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I mean, look, Don Pettit is on the spectrum at best. And I've seen these videos. I mean, you seen the girl who's doing like a press conference, and she totally like MK Ultra's whatever. My girl says it's fainting and she falls out. Okay. You just got off the international whatever that nobody's ever seen built. 1999. Hey, you know, we're up there. We're all together. What? Okay. So let's assume that that's real. And then she comes back down. She gives a press conference with a bunch of those astronauts, the ubiquitous guys, you know, the guy with a little mustache and, you know, whatever. And she falls out to the ground. They catch her fainting, like they're expecting her to faint. And then the next thing you know, she's on the ground and they let her back up to speak. I'm like, no, that's not a protocol for being, you know, thinking about somebody, you know, in a medical sense. Like, we need to call someone, we need to have someone come. You don't get back up. That was really embarrassing.
It's all so scripted and controlled. It's
very strange.
That's why I really, really like the term fake and gay. It really says so much. Like, I love it. I say it so much. Like, this big space, big science is so fake and gay that I can't, like, and like Buzz's face when Trump said like thank you Buzz and he's
he's
like
freaking he's got that look, he's got that those manic eyes like dude, I don't
yeah it's really sad.
I don't know.
I feel like these guys are like patriots that they have to lie and they don't want to, so they're like, you know how they're just low energy when they're talk these press conferences from like the 80s and 90s, they're so low energy. I feel like it's like someone shot their dog or something like that.
Well, you've seen Bart Siebert. Is it Bart Siebert that did the A Funny Thing Happened in the Way to the Moon documentary?
I think I've seen that. I've seen that, yeah.
And there's some video of him trying to get some of the astronauts to swear on the Bible that they went to the
moon. I've seen that. They won't.
And their responses are very telling. If you come up to me and you go, you know, listen, you're all about monkeys fucking coconuts, I'm just going to laugh at you and go, all right. Are you going to say something outlandish? Like you saw me a day ago, you know, beating the hell out of like small children in a playground. I'm going to go, okay, I think you're retarded and you're crazy, but I'm not going to start, you know, getting a defensive, argumentative, very posturing. I mean, people have seen it, but I mean, the guy, Buzz Aldrin decked. He actually punched.
Yeah.
Bart Siebert. And I was like, wow, okay, that's not weird. You know, earlier in the interview, he's starting to call him out on some stuff sitting in his office. And he says, well, listen, I don't know. Talk to NASA. We were on a trip. We were taking a flight. And I was like, okay, you know, but he is, I mean, I feel like that he's just like, God damn it, man. I'm fucking in my 80s and I still got to have people walking up to me and giving me, you know, accolades about something that never happened. And anybody that gives me any blowback, you know, I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm when am I going to have to not do this anymore? This little 8-year-old girl that he talked to, and he all but said, we didn't go. And people will say, oh, was out of context. I'm like, I'm listening. I speak English.
That's so weird. I run into the same problem with all kinds of stuff. It's just all you have to do is listen to what they said. They'll cherry pick reasons why exactly what they said might not be what they said. It's like, just listen to what they said. It's mind boggling, man. I feel like this is a spiritual element to this because I think some people are just blind, man. They've like been blinded. I don't know how, I don't know why, but there's like two kinds of people.
There are scriptures about scales falling from eyes. And, you know, even the road to heaven is very narrow and a few will find it. It's already saying it's already a narrow thing. And not only will the people that get on that road, but only a few will even actually, you know, recognize that it is a road. So I think there's a lot of spiritual stuff going on. I mean, listen, you know, adrenochrome and, you know, Obama's eating babies, you know, I can't speak to that. I do know that something is very strange and afoot. And I do know that the people, I feel like they're in a hypnotic state and they aren't challenged. There's not enough a healthy curiosity in human nature.
Yeah.
We probably have it, but some people really don't. And I also think that it is a cognitive dissonance thing where the people go, they know something's afoot, but they know if they do any more investigation, you know, they will be infected with the truth.
Yeah.
And it becomes a problem for them because, listen, I'm going to have to change a bunch of shit about my life. And I like my life, you know, or my life is already complex enough. We're trying
to figure out, man.
We're going to binge watch tonight. And, you know, I got to put my three kids to bed. And I don't have time to look into the moon landing. So it's easier for me just to dismiss it as you guys are crazy and you're a conspiracy theorist. But, you know, we're seeing these things come to fruition day by day, even in the microcosm of the political arena. These, you know, I mean, you got Liz Wheeler comes on. She's like, here's four conspiracies that Democrats are touting, and this is how they're wrong, and here's the facts. But no one wants to listen to that. I put that up, and one of the girls that's very liberal, she lives in Washington, I went to high school with, she's like, well, I can't listen to Tucker. He's too partisan.
But he goes hard after the Republicans. That's very interesting.
Well, I listen to other stuff. I don't feel like I will be infected by something that someone else says just because I probably know it's bullshit. Mm. I'll listen.
There's truth.
I'll listen to anything.
There's truth all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give anything a shot. I'll give home ec a shot. You know, I'll give 10 minutes to anything.
Yeah, me too.
Why would you not?
Yeah, that's what I ask people. Yeah, I asked people in the show, like in my chat, there's, and it's just like one or two people, not even regulars, but they're just like, I'll turn that, like for instance, Liz Wheeler is part of One American News. I mean, people lump, they say they're like white nationalists, man. They won't even look at it. If you send someone a Breitbart article, they won't even read it because they're white supremacists. So it's just like a massive ad hominem, like character thing rather than. Like that. That's why I'm very, very cautious about, like, if I'm going to say something that's a fallacy, I'm going to say it ahead of time. Like, I know it's not an argument, but it's interesting. But like the whole thing's an ad hom, and, you know, people on the right do it too. But I don't find as much. Like, I'll read a Mother Jones or a Huffington Post article. I mean, why not? But like, especially if it's like, I'm totally anti-communist, and I'll read a commie rag. I did the other day. And I don't find that.
You're like, I'll read Mein Kampf, you know.
I have. I read it when I was like 17.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
See, I read, the inherent reading of that by a left leaning person is that you are actually looking into thinking that Hitler was probably an okay dude. I don't know. I do know I'm half Jew. I do know that I have I do have a perspective from having a father that goes to temple and that kind of stuff. And I can say unequivocally that he's asleep at the switch. I mean, and I love my dad, but you know, I asked him one time, I said, you went to temple this morning. I said, what was the message? You know, what'd you get out of it? And he looked at me puzzled. Like, what do you mean? I was like, wow. Well, what was this, you know, the sermon about? And he's like, I don't know. I just go because it's the thing I'm supposed to do. I've never been a person that from 4 years old, when I came online, whatever, I always said, why, you know, why, cool. You know, tell me why. I want to understand, you know, and that is a health curiosity. And I encourage people to do so. But at this point in the game, if you're not open, I'm probably not going to talk about this stuff with you because it becomes an exercise in futility. If you do ask me questions, I will send you, because I know a girl, she asked me some things. She said, what do you think about this pedo thing? I was like, listen, it's going on. Don't get too invested in Q or whatever, the things you can't prove. Think, you know, work with your sphere of influence.
Yeah, man.
Love your children. That's love your advice. Family. Make sure you talk to people about real shit, but don't try to convert people.
Yeah, you know? Dude, it's such a trap. I'm so bad with it. I try so hard. I mean, I don't like calling it try because it's just like I just react. Yeah. I'm like, and then all of a sudden I'm in a fight and the conversation.
Steven, it's because you have information and you have things that you have stats and you have you've memorized things that you understand as premise for a legitimate discussion, not an argument. And one of my buddies said to me, you know, he said, listen, not every disagreement is an argument. A disagreement is a disagreement. I have friends that are into Black Lives Matter. I try to have conversation. They think that, well, because I'm not with Black Lives Matter, that must mean that I'm on the white tip. And I'm like, no, I want to know what are the, and I've looked into it and I encourage people to do the same. They took in $40 million on one day. So extrapolate that into how much money have they taken on so far. And I went under their website and my girl was like, my girl is very much the naysayer. She's always kind of keeping me intellectually honest, certain to a point where she don't believe anything I say. But what I will say is that I said, I went to the website because I wanted to find out what has Black Lives Matter. Because it was a meme that talked about, they never sent a kid to college. They never built anything in infrastructure like a community center.
Nothing.
And so I was like, I was like, let's go look at this. And there's nothing there. It's all about activism. And she says, well, how do you know? I said, listen, if you're doing these good things and you have a website, you're going to talk about it. You're going to say, and we've done da 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 da. If you have to go and dig for that, and then a lot of their money they give to Act Blue, which is an organization that is giving straight to the DNC. Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Well, they will lose their 501c, you know, non-for-profit organization situation if they give that money directly. But it's like, it's the people on the left. I feel like they have to be hypnotized. There's no other way to explain their behavior.
It's one of the hardest psychological or like philosophical things I've ever had to figure out, where it's like, what is going on where these people are like, we're telling two different stories. And like, I just don't, I mean, maybe one of the problems is people don't pay attention to the GOP that much because they're not really like, they're not culturally relevant. There's not these big movements coming out of the Republicans. So people don't really look at them. Maybe there's some shadiness, but I don't know. I just, you see it out of these like big activism. It's like an industry. And
yeah,
like, so, but that's not, you can have the whole conversation without even bringing up the GOP. I mean, look, like you just said, like almost everybody at this point in our neck of the woods knows about this Act Blue thing. And it's right there. It's like, it's not really like, I'm not bringing up anything other than Act Blue as a DNC money washing.
It's the double thing. Down philosophy.
Yeah, they can't. That's why I keep saying they can't, because they, like with can't. Biden, they can't not vote for him. Like they can't look at his sickness or whatever, because it's years past the point of no return on the orange man.
Right. Right. And for me, it's like, you know, when someone says, go vote, you know, go vote, vote.
They mean vote blue.
I have actually said to them, I said, so what you're saying is vote for whom I'm voting for.
Yep.
Because if you said go vote and there are 9 different selections, I get your public service announcement. Go and be part of the solution and pick. I'm like, you haven't set up anything but a far one side and a far the other. You have no middle. Your middle has been represented in a way that is deplorable, because there, you know, they could have put that money into more likable people, less hippie-like, you know, subjects, some people that are conservative, right? People that are conservative, but not too, you know, maybe they don't preach Jesus to everybody. There could be somebody in the center, but for, it doesn't make for good news. It's not financial, you know, there's no financial gain to the situation. People like to get a coffee and sit and watch CNN.
Yeah.
To them, it's entertainment. From years ago, when there was ABC, NBC, and CBS, and I was a kid, it was like, listen, I don't want to watch this. This is just negative. It should be called the negative news. There's once in a while, they have like a human interest story about Corky, the guy with Downs who, like, you know, flew a kite or something, or like, you know.
Yeah, one like.
Otherwise, yeah. There's no human interest. There's no good to it. So why would I open up my head to just negativity?
Yeah.
How is that productive for a happy life?
I want to get back to something you said a second ago, where it's like not so much like hippie causes and stuff like that. I mean, I come from a pretty liberal background. I mean, I was kind of like a Bernie, like a center Bernie guy about 5 years ago. And then I got red-pilled super hard. And before that, I was like I'm a professional musician. I've been in hundreds of bands. So I come from like the hippie. I've been to Bonnaroo a bunch of times and done a bunch of, you know, yeah, what's, yeah, whatever. And so, sure, I've been saying for a while that if I'm your like almost your prude conservative type, you have big problems. Like, that means your society is so far left that it's like going to, and it is, it's going to like Patchouliville. You know, if, yeah, I'm the guy that's, because I've always been an open-minded, like, I mean, I've clamped, right, down in a couple of years because of God and discipline and stuff and getting older. You know, I got gained weight. So like my discipline is more, but 10 years ago, I was like, dude, drop acid. Like, I'll go walk in the street five in the morning, you know.
You were coming from a younger mentality where you hadn't taken stock on analysis of what's real and what you can prove. I voted for Clinton the first time. I'm 46. I voted for Bush the second time. I didn't vote after that at all.
Oh,
and anything. And, you know, so I considered myself to be an open-minded. I was probably more liberal based. For instance, I had a podcast about nothing, which I found out very quickly. If you want to gain any kind of followers, about you something, can't just be, well, I'm going to be Seinfeld. I'm just gonna, well, nobody gives a shit because no one knows who you are. You know, yeah, for, you know, Joe Rogan, you know, for whatever his chill situation is, he does have an ability to draw people in because, yeah, he's already a person. He's already a personality. So, at that time in 2015, I switched the programming to a podcast about porn.
Mm.
As weird as that sounds, a girl that I had done some, who had been my co-host before, was very liberal. She took the word out of my vernacular of retarded because she taught mentally challenged people.
Big mistake.
And I did not have the definition of retarded at the time to challenge that, to say, well, it actually means underdeveloped, so I can still use that word. So I took the word out of my vocabulary, and she knew somebody that had offered to offload one of his podcasts He had multiple podcasts about porn. And she said, you know, what do you think about that? And I was like, fuck yeah, that sounds fucking hilarious and funny and whatever. Wow. So she, and she was a woman, so I could play the straight man more than being a straight guy, but just, I didn't have to be asked like weird questions and like, you know, creepy shit. And she would ask those things. She already had like the porny questions. And I'd be like, well, what kind of weed are you smoking? You know, how is it out there in California? Or whatever. But I did 49 episodes that I released on Venmo, because Venmo wasn't, I was always about doing some production with music that I like at the beginning. And obviously YouTube was scanning that and you couldn't do it, but Venmo was much more liberal with it. And I put up 49 episodes. I had over 1 million views, which I, you know, I don't know what that means, you know, but a lot of the stars that we had on, they would promote it.
Oh, you would have people on, like porn stars on? Holy crap, man.
Yeah.
Man.
So, oh yeah. It's kind of degenerate. No. So, listen, I had, it's okay now because I understand the folly, but I will say that like what I literally did was I Skyped these women in, and some men too. I Skyped them in and I had my webcam on my iPad and I had a software that would bring everything in. So my whole living room, like Tom Green, was an entire podcast studio. It was a winter wonderland. I had all these colored lights and all this stuff. And each screen, if I had three people on, they're sitting in the room across from me, but they all look like they're in different places because of the background that they had. And so we have these girls on, these guys on, and we would talk frankly with them. And it was interesting to some degree. I edited it for content. So an interview that went an hour and a half, it would take me 10 hours to edit. And I had no monetary reason to do so. And after 49 episodes, I was just like, dude, I'm tired. I don't have time to do this anymore. It's not interesting. These people have to cut talk all of their dialogue because they have the ums and the uhs and they're not used to speaking.
That's insane.
That. Yeah.
Fuck it. But I did live.
Right. We'll do it live. Fuck it. So I got off that tip. And then only recently did I understand, because Google Hangouts, I mean, bless you for understanding it. I don't get it. So I got an intermediary that just connects it all up. Mm. And I started doing podcasts again, but I wanted to do them live because I didn't want to edit. I wanted it to be real. I didn't want to have, you know, to be produced. And, you know, I know Rogan's doing that, but I lost Rogan in 2012, 2013.
Wow.
As soon as he started clowning on Eddie Bravo, who's, you know, from a martial arts standpoint, because I practice a couple of martial arts, you don't, as a respect thing and an etiquette thing, you don't clown on the guy who gave you your black belt. He believes in flat earth. You
never thought about that, ridiculous. Man. That's interesting.
You don't do that.
That's a good
and
point.
As soon
man.
As I saw that disrespect, everything started, the scales started to fall from my eyes about Rogan, because he was really just more about, you know, when he was doing it in his, you know, another bedroom or whatever at his house, he had, and when he backtracked on the moon landing, Steven,
dude,
with NDT, I was like, dude, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought we went to the moon at the time, so I was like, okay, whatever. But like in hindsight, if you look at the past like 5-6 years of Rogan, it's really bad. It's gotten really, really corporate.
But people are waking up to it.
Yeah.
You go on.
I don't think Rogan's good for young men at all, man. I don't think he's good for young men.
Absolutely not, because it's a response to the culture with a kind of a quasi apathetic. You know, just do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. He doesn't really take any stance on anything anymore. And, you know, once I started watching Owen, it was like a breath of fresh air. And he started clowning on Rogan. I was like, why is he going so hard at this guy? And then I started to sort of see it. I was like, yeah, he's a gatekeeper. You know, he didn't have to do it, but he got, you know, the lollipops and the fancy pants. He got sucked in by the fame and the whatever. And, you know, you're living out in Hollywood. Hollywood is a weird place. You don't have any objectivity there. You don't know what life is real for anybody. You know, everyone's trying to move out of there because they realize like there's this facade that it has no foundation. You know, I feel bad for the people that live out there now. It's like, well, what are you going to do? Move to Idaho. Well, that's do you have a plan?
Yeah, I mean I think a lot of people are gonna homestead, but not the rich people. I don't know what they're thinking, dude. I mean, like, I don't
they're
know
a,
like they're fucked kind of
way,
yeah
dude.
They're fucked.
They are
they yeah
are.
They don't got God. They don't have like they need to be in the city. They have no skills. I mean, at least Rogan has skills, though. Like, that's sure. The thing where he always got him, like, he was always, like, more of a Renaissance man compared to, like, your political right. commentators.
Absolutely.
That was
absolutely.
Cool, you know?
That was what attracted me to him was because I have that kind of thing. I'm a musician. I'm an artist.
Yeah, he would talk about shrooms all the time. He would talk about space. He would talk, you know, all kinds, comedy, you know, all kinds, sports.
He was a man's man with a little bit of sensitivity enough to not be, you know, over the top. And that was attracted to me. But at the same time, when I started to see his company on it, or he's bought into on it, becoming more pervasive, and the advertisers coming in, you know, even if it was audible.com, I realized, you know, in conjunction with him clowning on Eddie Bravo, that, wait a minute, you have some people you have to answer to, you know, him getting on Spotify and getting $100 million. You know, that's like, nobody gets that kind of money. You don't pay the piper.
He did really? Something. No, yeah. Something.
Nobody.
Happened. Yeah.
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 Something.
Yeah.
And even when he did Joe Rogan Questions Everything on the Sci-Fi Channel,
that was the start of the show.
That was
man.
Also very much, well, you know, he was doing these subjects that we all want to know about, you know, aliens and, you know, Bigfoot and everything. And he played like the clowning, you know, skeptic. And it was like, I understand being skeptical, but you're basically having a show with titles that you think you're just ratings are just bust on, and say a couple of positive things to kind of keep the show going. That was where I lost him, and I dropped him.
Yeah. So. Well, it's interesting. I mean, this comes up a lot, is that, like, you know, is a person good or bad? I mean, it's like, we're right, you know, we're in a place right now called the present, right? But in the past, everyone's done bad stuff and good stuff. And it's kind of like, for instance, like Jordan Peterson. I'm not a fan of Jordan Peterson anymore, but he was like a huge pivotal part of me coming back to God. And he was like the third to last step. And like Owen and Vox Day were like the second to last step. So it's like, do I really not like Peterson? I mean, I don't like what he stands for now, but it's like, if it's part of that process, it's kind of like when people say about, like, you know, everything's for a reason. You know, like, if you wouldn't have done those mistakes in the past, you wouldn't be where you are now. Like that type of thing.
Yeah. You got to really remember that stuff and not get too holier than thou. That is another trick by the devil, to say that you have, you know, you've got some kind of moral high ground and you're becoming this sanctimonious idiot, you know, who's spouting off that you're just better than everybody because you found God, you realize all the shills that are in the world. Absolutely.
It's so hard, man.
Yeah. It's definitely a practice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, really, really hard. And yeah. So, Jeremy says, God uses everything, bro. Yeah, he does. Yeah. Some sure. guy in the chat. Thank you.
Well, I at 21 years old, I became and I lived a good 3 years out of high school being a total idiot. And I kind of was always just like, you know, well, there's got to be something more. And I became a member of a very, very strict church that was about discipleship and really going out and questioning and challenging people's Christianity. They call it a cafeteria Christianity. You can't just decide what you want to do and what you don't want to do. It's like where the Unitarians come from. It's like, where are you guys just going to ignore the entire Old Testament? But I spent a decade of from 21 to 29 in a very, very strict church. Like, you didn't show up at church one day, there's five guys coming to your house, like, trying to give you communion,
whoa,
bringing the little chips and and the juice. But they're coming like, hey, man, are you really sick? Or what kind of sin are you involved in? It was heavy.
Wow.
And so I did that.
Can you say what kind of was again? What kind of was it? Was it a Unitarian?
It was the International Churches of Christ.
Okay. International.
They have an entire study series where they invite people out to church. And when you come out to church at the end, they would, you know, in the church, the services were very dynamic. The music was very dynamic. The messages were very dynamic. The people that spoke were very funny and affable and very much including. But at the end of the day, when we would ask people when they came as a visitor, hey, what'd you think about church? Most people would say, yeah, I liked it. You know, it's like my church back at home. We would be like, what is it that you like about it? How is it like your church back at home? We knew from our standpoint, it's not like your church back at home at all. This is totally different. And you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And we would be like, hey, you want to study the Bible? And they'd be like, yeah, but they didn't know what that meant. What I knew from a religious standpoint was three guys sitting around on a Sunday morning eating bagels and donuts and reading Psalms around in a circle. we had specific studies we were going to do with you, one of which started usually with discipleship. They've got you at the end of the study basically saying, are you saved based on what we've told you? And the person's like, if they were honest, they would go, no. And he'd be like, well, do you want to be? Okay, what do you need to do next? Okay, you got to move out and live in with your girlfriend. Okay, we got a place you could stay at.
Yeah, wow.
It was heavy.
Dude. Really?
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
And then when I got out of that church for many different reasons, and it was, I spent another 4 years kind of, I hate to say this, performing an autopsy, which is, can get into some weird stuff of opening up some doors. But I kind of was like, what the hell did I just do for the last decade? Like, I had to get my brain around it. And I came to a point of just not believing pretty much in God at all, getting into that, you know, Richard Dawkins kind of, you know, well, if God was so, you know, benevolent, why would he let children die and all this stuff? And it really, I got to say it, you know, Owen's influence, or, you know, his, God uses people. He's not influential in the sense that he is creating simps. He's not, we're not lemmings in shining metal boxes. He opened up a place where you said, well, this guy is a guy that's telling what's going on. He went through pornography, got off of pornography. His dad's got some weird shady past. He's crying online. I was like, this is real. And I came to the conclusion that I needed to start changing some things about my life. And that's where I got back to God. Mm. So God uses people in different ways, and we're all living the sliding doors of, you know, our past and what we've been exposed to. So, you know, and that's where I'm at now. So it's a good place to be. But it also is a very, the Bears did for me is that we could have a sense of humor and we could use an F-bomb, and it's not like, oh, you know, that holier than thou thing. No, that is not appealing to anyone.
No.
Unless you just want to live in a place where you feel like you're just better than everybody.
It's only appealing to the person reacting at the time. Even that one person react, even if I'm speaking for myself, after I'm done reacting, like later that day, and I realized I'd like did damage and probably like even like blue pilled someone a little bit, it's like a crushing sense of guilt. And like, it's just like so many steps back when you could have just shut up and asked questions and
yeah,
it would have been fine. And they might've been on a path towards watching a freaking YouTube video, you know? So it's like a lot of responsibility, and like truly persuading someone is one of the hardest things to do in the world. It's so, so hard because everyone's different, and you know, you got your own faults. We're all sinners and stuff like that. And it's just, it's really messy. But that, I like what you said earlier about just asking questions, man. If you just ask a question, 10 rounds of asking questions will almost tire anyone out. Like almost anyone will rethink their position or like consider it after 10 straight rounds of questioning. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I opened 9/11 opened the door for me. I spent a lot of time analyzing Dylan Avery's Loose Change, all the different iterations of it, all the different parts. And that was what started to get me into a place of really seeing that, wait a minute, there's some, and I memorized, I could talk intelligibly about 9/11 with a person for an hour and a half without looking at notes, you know? Right. But that what put me in a very despair-driven, depressing, morose place for probably a couple of years, where I was just like, dude, it's all fucked. What's the fucking point, you know? And then I went through my little, you know, podcast, you know, interviewing porn people, which is, you know, whatever.
Crazy, man. I want to listen to some of those. I mean, like, I'm completely anti-porn, so I'll probably be like, oh, it's not good for society. But like,
I mean,
it's interesting.
You can do it, dude. It's not, we didn't spend time concentrating on, and I'll send you a link. I still, you know what it is? I still have it on my, what would Tesla do on Podbean.
Cool. Nice.
There's still a few, I put some trailers on there. You'll get an idea. I was really trying to go for a more comedic thing. I had a lot of fun with just, you know, have just the banter and the fact that these were kind of, you know, it was very titillating. We're talking to these people that are on the fringe of society, but it was an interesting time. And it taught me a lot about interviewing and about, you know, what a podcast was and getting comfortable doing it. But nowadays it's like, dude, people need to, you guys listening, you can do a podcast. It's easy.
Yeah.
You know, all in my time in 2015, dude, there was, you know, or 2013 is when I started and got the equipment set up. I had to get a friend of mine who was an engineer for speech from Arrested Development, come in, go on Amazon with me, tell me what I needed to purchase so I could make this thing happen. There were no tutorials. There was no, you didn't know what the hell you were doing. If you don't know what your hell you're doing, you got to figure it out. And that's one of the things that I think helped me to get what was going on, but I never followed through with the monetization and thinking of it as a business. So for me, it was more of a hobby, but it was a hobby that, you know, took up 10, 15 hours of my life every 10 days. And it was, after a while, you just go, well, I can't do this anymore. I have other stuff I want to do. I like to play drums, but I can't. I'm in Final Cut Pro, you know, cutting out all the ums and the uhs from, you know,
such a trap. I think it's such a trap. I never would have done it if, I mean, I like, you know, with music, I am way bigger fan of playing live than playing in the studio. I mean, you have to record a little bit to be a musician, and I deal with it. But I've always just been like, man, people, especially in this day and age, people like organic more. I mean, some people like the ums and the uhs if they know it's unedited. Like, if you're going to edit, you should edit that stuff out.
Well, but it's live. It's honest. It's honest.
Yeah,
it's,
man, why authentic.
I do, why I do jiu-jitsu now. I did Aikido, or I've done Aikido for 17 years. But jiu-jitsu just was a mind fuck, because number one, it was like, you know, a guy who's been training 6 months of jiu-jitsu can take down a couple of different black belts in Aikido, because you get them down to the ground, you're in their world. And it was very honest, because at the end of the day, it does not matter. I can go into a room and there could be a girl that's a black belt in jiu-jitsu and she's just going to own you. And it takes all of that, you know, the arrogance out of whatever you're doing, the LARPing, and it gets down to just, hey, you know, this is, it is what it is.
It's so humbling. I rolled for like 8 months and then gained weight and kind of quit. And I was just like, it's just like almost any skill. I mean, that's why I think I teach from like a really general perspective in music, of like first level is like the basics, and it all builds all the way up to like how you can use your skills for all skills. And that's how I kind of approach like general learning and stuff like that. And almost all skills have this in common where it's like, it's very intimidating. It's very humbling. And you can tell when it's starting to get addictive, because you're like, oh, I get level one, and it's all about hips, and then it's all about leverage, and then it's all about learning the positions, and like you can see the ball rolling, and you get your like first sub, and that could be like your first bar chord on guitar, like the first time you like connected a beat to a fill or something like that on drums. And it's just like, I have skill, and that's logos to me, man. I mean, there's like a reality and logos like in charge of skills that it's like, and that could be called art. So it's amazing. Yes. And BJJ has all that. No.
Well, that is just it's just that honesty. So live streaming is honest. A martial art that checks you on a regular basis. The egos are very, very low, because everyone's been tapped. Mm. Everyone knows that somebody is better. They're better, and that's the end of it. And you're going to get submission. And if that happens, it's, you know, you hug it out and you go. That's the thing right now. My knee, my ACL is splayed, which means like if you took some celery and tried to break it, it's kind of still connected, but it's in a stressed place. So I'm struggling right now with going to class and just drilling. And then when they go to roll, I'm like, I can't roll, because I'm not going to put myself in danger. I'm 46. I have to listen to my body. I'm not going to put myself in danger of getting injured, so I can't practice for the next two weeks or 3 weeks trying to, you know, recover. It's risk versus reward. So that's where I'm at right now is managing my, pushing my ego down to say, you know what, getting together with some guy who's is also a wrestler, a lot of white belts,
super aggressive wrestler, like low body super fat,
aggressive. Straight, I'm looking, I'm like,
hog tie your ass,
whatever. I will tap before we're even in a bad place. Yeah.
The wrestlers are so aggressive, man. It's like, dude, trying to chill.
Everyone's super nice, but I'm like, listen, man, I can't. It's reckless. I can't put myself in a position. I can come and I can drill 2-3 times a week for a month and not roll and get all that practice. But I can roll one time and like and get my toe like sprained or whatever the thing is. So that's where I'm teeter tottering on that. I've been playing drums for over 30 years. I've been playing bass for I don't know how long. I mean, I just did it on the side as a thing. I've been playing a lot more recently. I play some guitar, I play some keyboards. Now it's just more about just stimulus, just learn, you know. I don't have to become, you know, Jaco to play bass. You know, I can do it to just play and have fun with it. I can do it to write music. But I think I just encourage people, get out of your comfort zone and just do some shit, do something different. You know, it's going to open up things. It'll take your mind off of all the crap that's going on, all the things you could get, you know, and that's the thing. I got plenty of people on my streams that are just, they are so into Coronu and Flat Earth every day.
Interesting.
And I'm like, you're talking to the same dudes, man. Yeah. Everyone's liking the same posts. Cool. We're all jerking each other off.
I mean, the only thing I can do is make fun of stuff every day. Like, I can make fun of those subjects of every day, but like even then, it like will get fresh. I mean, I'm trying to do like a not a comedy show, but definitely like humor and news together with my morning show. And you know, we got to touch on other stuff, but it's been heavy lately. We got all this pedo shit. We got all this like, it's the election. Right. I mean, there's no end to the number of things. So you just got, you know, that's what I'm trying to do with my daily show is like have funny videos in there and like random stuff. And like the other day, there was this like NHL, like woke race guy giving like a speech for the NHL. And I like put a Hitler speech over it. So it's like, he was like giving the speech, but I put like, Leisitz, Gangen, Feigen. And just shit like that is what I'm trying to do. Like, so it keeps it fresh, but people get mad.
And, right.
Like I played the Michelle Obama speech from the DNC today with this Biden sniffing videos over it the whole time. And it was perfect. Like she was talking about him, like, she cares about the children while he's like leaning in to sniff and just shit like that but if you do it with a straight face the whole time, it becomes despair and black pills for days. No one wants that. You know,
I never understood what black pill meant. Thank you for that.
It means despair, despair and acceptance of the situation that is not going to improve.
Her body language.
The final level is acceptance. A lot of people think the black pill is just despair, but that's kind of like despair is like the second to last level. The final level is just acceptance and build your own thing or welcome to clown world.
Right. What are you saying about it? You got it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what's going on and now you got to, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
The body language that she had talking about, that Biden was this, you know, magnanimous, great guy. And I'm like, how do you believe that? I saw the influx of different sitting congressmen coming in to get re-upped or sworn in by Biden because he's got nothing to do all day long as a vice president under Obama. And I just watched this stuff and I'm like, wow. And I said something to a friend of mine and she says, what are you talking about? I said, dude, just go into YouTube and put Joe Biden creepy.
Sniff, that's it. Creepy.
Watch.
Confirmation.
Just watch. And this is like 3 years ago. And she texts me back and she's like, holy fuck.
How do people not open Google? How? I don't get it, man. Like, that's why I don't buy... a lot of people in the chat and like the people I talk to just say that people just don't have the information. Maybe they don't, but I find it so hard to even fathom that. Maybe it's an empathy thing. I'm like not putting myself in their shoes, but like, dude, just type the shit into Google. It takes like 3 seconds. Like, I just can't fathom, like, you know, like
it's the opposite of empathy. It's apathy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not putting myself in their shoes. Like, I couldn't imagine being a person that can't Google something, but it's definitely apathy on their end.
I go back to this whole thing of then their heart of hearts, they know something's up and it requires energy that they would rather put into other things. Mm-hmm. And they have responsibilities. They got to pay the rent. They got kids, they got, you know, activities, but you know, and this is evidenced by the lack of responses of the things that I put up, and mostly on Facebook. That's where the people are that need to be, you know, red pilled.
Yeah, what
and
a brave just, guy. So you use Facebook a lot? Even,
yeah, you know what? I just came out as a flat earther in like 2018. I just said, fuck it.
Good man.
I just came out and I said, look, this is what's up. This is what I know, not what I believe. This is what I know. And you guys, anytime anybody wants to challenge me, I say, listen, what kind of experiments have you done? And they come back, well, I've sailed around, you know, flown around the world and I know NASA. I'm like, dude, what have you done specifically as an individual? And they don't say, I'm like, listen, you need to do a sight distance test. Here's the, you go onto Google, find out what the curvature, you know, calculator is, find out what you can see and what you can't see, do the math and come back and I'll give you a hug. I'm not going to go, oh, dude, I told you. I'm going to say, you know, I'll embrace you, but go do it. And they don't, because they know something's up, dude. Millions of people are not falling away from all of this hypocrisy and going into a different place from all walks of life, all over the world. They're not doing that because this is a bunch of horseshit. If it was horseshit, it would fall by the wayside. Stuff that doesn't have any legs doesn't get anywhere.
No. You know? No, not really.
Revolution comes around. A movement is from one place to the other, and it may stop. You know, there has to be a secular type of motion. And so you go through, well, is it flat? That's bullshit. Then you go back to, well, signs point to yes. And then you get to a point where I think maybe you and I are at, where we're just like, listen, if you're not open, I'm not, you know, I can't spend a whole lot of time on you because I got other shit to do.
Yeah.
Gotta create, gotta feel, you know, do some positive stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing that very noticeable that flipped about my worldview in the past, like maybe just past year, is a year ago, like if a normie asked me a year ago if I was like a conspiracy theorist, I'd give him a complicated answer. Because I'd be like, oh, you know, some of them, blah, 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 you know.
Oh,
like,
CIA
like,
invented
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And then a conspiracy theorist, I would be like, yes, I am, because I know they get me. Now that's totally flipped. Now a normie, I'm more likely to be like, I'm just a Trump supporter and conspiracy theorist. And if they want to play ball, great. If not, but I'm not really a person that is like a little more awake, I'd be like, man, Trump kind of sucks, but I might vote for him probably because voting's cool to do on a Tuesday. But I don't really believe in it. It's kind of illegitimate. I'll give them the complicated answer because I know that they're awake. But like a normie is like, if like a random girl that I was just like talking to, like trying to get to know, asked me if I was a Trump supporter, I would just be like, yeah, if I knew she was like a normal mainstream person, because it's just like wheat from the chaff, yo. Separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's totally that what people are underestimating is there is an entire sect of the population that is not openly pro Trump because they fear ramifications, ridicule, whatever.
Physical violence. You can't walk any city with a MAGA hat on. You're not gonna do well.
I don't openly endorse political candidates because I understand that they're all puppets.
Yep.
I do say, for to be honest, with 45, you know, first of all, he's hilarious. I mean,
he is so, his game is so tight, dude. His game is
the guy.
So good.
Listen, the guy, he's an egomaniac, but the dude can talk for 2.5 hours without notes.
I can't believe I'm looking at a person over 70 doing what he does. I can't believe it. It's like a stand-up comedian. He's just so good at the way he handles the press too. I've said for a while now that one of the clearest cases of projection is when his detractors say he doesn't have poise and he's like a crybaby. I've never seen him lose his cool. Like,
there was a guy, I forget his name, it was an Indian guy who was up in the press conference, and he said something to the effect of, and he was kind of saying it fast, so you couldn't understand. He said, so what are you going to do about all the lies you've been telling for like 3.5 years or whatever? And Trump's like, what? Who lied? And he's like, you. And he's like, yes, you. And he wouldn't even dignify it, which I thought was really, it's a ballsy thing, but it's just, he's sure. He's sure of himself. He's like, you know, maybe he said some things that are, you know, I'm not lying, but, you know, I may be wrong, but I'm not lying type of stuff. I don't think he's intentionally a person that's disingenuous, because he does understand the whole, he's the one that coined the phrase fake news.
Yeah.
Which is something that is very, very, it's something that needs to be said, and it's on the tip of people's tongues, but nobody gave it a name and give it any credence,
yeah,
because it wasn't a popular stance to have. And now you just see it all the time. It's just the spin is just out of control. So I think with him, I think that he's got some of anybody that's in that position. He's a person that's probably going to do it in the way that it needs to be done in this, you know, for the sake of people in America and trying to represent the things that need to happen. You know, the thing, I don't know, what are your thoughts on the Q thing? What do you think about that?
Whenever someone brings up Q, I just say, I hope that they're draining the swamp. I hope that they like are doing their thing, but I don't really believe in it. You know, I don't know. Like from there, I would say it's anything from like a full blown like psyop or like an Israeli scam to being complete fabrication. But I hope not because I care about Cube, just because I care about, you know, this human trafficking and pedophilia shit a lot, you know, but I hope, right. But I mean, like, but I am more pro Q than I am pro the haters of Q, because they just say there's no like deep state and these people are retarded. And I know some of these people, they're not retarded, you know? So,
well, if a sitting president wanted to, you know, go find out about the UFO files, they'll get a response back from, you know, military intelligence to say, well, there is no file, sir.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What basement are you going to go down to with, you know, a couple guys behind you and some MPs and be like, all right, we need to see the real documents. Alex Jones is down there.
The documents, like, show. I got him.
That's not a real thing. They'll just, you know, and so those are the things that I think about when it comes to.
I bring up the documents, like, all the time. I'm just like, oh, Joe, look, give me the documents, Joe. Like, from the
Chicago. We found the documents. Yeah, we have, like, the papers.
I think that there's, like, I really think there's no such thing as a dictator, a true dictator. You need people. It's like Trump's not just going to go out with a long sword and just, like, lop heads. Right. Like, it's impossible.
He's got an entire staff of people that know how to speak the king's English. But the Q thing for me is like, dude, you know, if you guys were doing the whole Fight Club Operation Mayhem, you know, well, we would see something. Where's the fruits? Where are the
documents? Where's the handcuffs? Where are the
right? Well, Corey Feldman's been talking about outing all the people in, you know, in the vultures in Hollywood. What are the names? Oh, Charlie Sheen.
Everybody knew about Charlie Sheen, dude.
Yeah, thanks, fucko. Thanks. The guy's missing teeth. He's on, you know, he's on the fringe of society. He is barely, you know, he's just out there. You know, like, that's not a revelation. You're not taking anybody down with that.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he got diddled, but I also think that.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's just like,
without question.
Like, name names. And like, we watched this other thing the other day where this guy said that he was trying to expose everything, but he gave his word to them decades ago that he wouldn't name names. It was like,
well, one of the Michael Jackson kids that got remember that happened.
Yeah,
the one when they brought him in and he had to do that video saying his genitals were photographed and all that, that kid settled. His family settled. He was totally diddled, but, you know, somebody was like, hey, well, you know, it's not about the principle here. Let's get some money here and be set up for life.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I don't know. There's so many different angles, but I mean, it's just like, that's why it's, you know, you can hope, but I just think I kind of feel bad for the really hyper Q people. I feel bad. Or like, even if the people that are just like, if Biden wins, this country is like wrecked forever as we know it. I'm pretty sure it already is. Like, if Biden,
again, like, you and I are both of the opinion that there's a Trump card on the DNC tip. Something's gonna have to happen.
I think it's a false flag or something, like something.
There's
like,
something, dude.
Now, but I do think that it's got to be that it's gonna be Biden and Harris, though. Some people are still talking that it might be another person that might run. I disagree. I think it's too late. Maybe I'm wrong, but like, I don't
know. You can't endorse someone and then drop them. I don't think there's a precedent for that.
3 months, man. Less than 3 months.
No. They picked the person. They thought, okay, person of color, people will just
fucked
win.
Up, man. They fucked up now, so bad.
With the mail-in ballots.
Biden still might win, man. Yeah, Biden still might win because the fuckery. It might.
But I think that you also have somebody in power that can stall things,
yeah,
you know, and say, wait a minute. This is, wait a minute, you know? So, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, it is the world is a stage, and to watch this stuff, you kind of almost got to go like, my girl and I are rewatching Lost just because, like, all the stuff that you miss and whatever. but it's like Nancy Pelosi, like really, like I'm a political person, but dude, this lady's like, she's like drunk half the time. She says the most ridiculous stuff. She's half cocked about everything. A lot of characters, man.
Yeah, it's really thrown. Yeah, it's really like that's why, you know, that's why I'm glad that I cut the cord and I don't do Netflix. I don't do anything fiction anymore because this is history and this is history. It's the most fascinating story ever. Like, and I consider, like, you know, Jesus to be part of that, like the European history, you know, ancient history, conspiracy theories. I mean, this whole thing is the most fascinating story ever, and it's called Real Life. So it's just like,
yeah,
you know, pull the, you know, fuck Breaking Bad or The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones. It's like you just study this all day and, you know, it's a good,
you got it. Sometimes I just got to disconnect, and I don't want to watch anything new because I already know that if there's a lot of, you know, indoctrination and horseshit in there.
Sure.
So I go back to a show that I know just was crazy and weird and had a lot of, you know, threads to it and whatnot. So we're having a good time. I actually do kind of a mystery science 3000 when I'm watching it. I'm busting and saying all this crazy shit, make my girl laugh. So
yeah, cool.
It's fun.
Cool, man. Well, I think we just did an hour and 15 minutes, so we're going to wrap up pretty soon, but why don't you tell people kind of just a little bit about what your podcast is about and plug your work. I mean, the stuff is linked below in the show description. Everyone listening after the fact, definitely sub to Damien's channel. It's linked below, but tell us just about what your podcast is and where to find it.
Oh, so it's based on what would Jesus do? So what would Tesla do? And if I think that, you know, we obviously never heard about Tesla when we were growing up and when we were in school. And that's obviously for a reason. And, you know, if Tesla was around and we had free energy, I mean, we would be in a utopia in 20, 30 years. If you had free energy, that would change everything. If there is free energy and that does exist, then you would have a society worldwide that was had a leg up, that didn't have to capitulate to the man and have to be everything be controlled. And I think it would be a totally different place. So I wanted to come from you know, something that didn't mean anything, like, you know, Aerosmith or whatever, but it's just trying to do truth. It's talking to people, you know, that I feel like, you know, I'd like to have Allegedly Dave on there. I've got kind of a connection to get on there. Just having interesting people and just talking about stuff. But, you know, I think it's more of an informative thing for the people that are already red pilled, because I don't know that you're going to really, anybody that ever says, you know, come on, people, wake up. Nobody ever woke up in the history of people saying wake up because someone said that to them. They've got to be open minded. They have to be searching on some level. They have to start it to, you know, just discern, wait a minute, there's a lot of stuff that's not adding up. So I do that. I like to have you on the show. It's one of those things where I kind of have to feel inspired to do a podcast at this point, because I don't want to get, and I'm easily roped in to getting, you know, despair driven. I like to try to do funny shit, you know, that would be great. But we're talking about really serious subjects. Mm. So it is kind of, you know, there's a, you know, you have to balance that. So yeah, I've got an audio version on Podbean, which is, What Would Tesla Do, on there. And then on my YouTube station, which I just thoroughly, you know, believe that it'll be yanked at some point, because I did have Bear in the Hood on, you know, Bear in the Hood,
yeah,
Instagram. I wanted to know what his position on racism and being black in America. I want to know why he's a bear. Like, what I want to understand where he was coming from. I knew what I think I thought cool. He knew, but I want to know what he said. And that got flagged for hate speech and removed.
Wow. Small channel, so, too. Don't you have only 300 subs or something like that?
No, my channel didn't get yanked. His episode got yanked.
Right, no, but I mean, did it. Usually they'll, you'll get flagged way less if you under 1,000 subscribers. That's crazy, man.
My friend who worked for the DOD told me that it's all algorithms.
Oh.
And I appealed the decision. And it came back. They said, well, there wasn't any hate speech. You're good to go. Hmm. And a week later, they put me back into the hate speech category, which you cannot appeal because you've already been.
Yep.
And so I was like, so who do I talk to? There's no one to talk to. Just that episode's just gone. And I didn't want to put a whole lot of time into doing something that was going to yank that easily. So I just didn't really want to promote the YouTube station. YouTube station is called What Would Tesla Do on Podbean, end quote. So, because if you put "What would Tesla do" on, you know, into YouTube, it'll come up with a bunch of people bitching about how their Tesla doesn't work. So I put that on there. You know, it's there. You can go check it out. All the audio versions of that are on Podbean, so you can get them from there. And now I'm kind of trying to reinvent. Well, what is the next level of things to try to be, have some levity and, you know, and be able to have a interesting show, but also not worry about you know, where it's going. So that's kind of where I'm at. So
cool.
You can go on a Hoodly Daddle Bear on Instagram. That's where all my memes are and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's where the fun stuff is, but I don't really know, Stephen, where to go from here. You know, I don't really know. I don't know how to do it.
But you live stream. I saw one of your live streams on there. Yeah. It's hard, man. That's why I focused on just doing it every day and not figuring out where to go. And it took about a year to like really become what
well,
the
you're
show
doing
did.
It consistently. Yeah. So people expect for me, I've lost whatever traction I did have, because I haven't done one in like a month and a half, 2 months, you know? So yeah, there is a formula for getting followers, and you're doing it exactly, which is having a specific time. Everyone knows they can count on it, so they feel connected and they can get involved in the chat. So, you know, maybe we'll talk offline. You can give me some pointers on what would be the next, you know, level. If maybe it's just 5 minutes a day. I don't know. But you know, it's more about just getting the truth out there than it is about a particular personality or a programming type of idea.
Cool.
For me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so everyone check out "What Would Tesla Do" podcast. I mean, I watched a couple of episodes and it was pretty cool, man. But you know, it sounds like good work, and I know you got a lot of different kind of interests and stuff. So you know, I wish you the best of luck with that stuff. You know.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. It was great getting a chance to talk to somebody that's engaging.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, cool. Definitely, y'all. All right, we're going to sign off, everybody. That was Damien. He goes by Hoodly Daddle Bear over there on Instagram, and his show is called What Would Tesla Do podcast. It's linked below in the show description, and I put it in the chat just now. So please subscribe over there, and you guys have a great night.